Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. Today I am joined by Nikki Raby, who is an actor, a coach, a writer, a speaker and a podcast. Podcast? You're a podcaster and a really good friend of mine. How are you with Nikki? Sorry.
Morning. How are you?
This is what happens when people get me to do podcasts in the morning instead of the afternoon.
Such a scumbag. I'm so sorry.
No, you're really, really fine. I started off this podcast being so good at reading people's bios and like introducing them in a really slick way. And I don't know what's happened recently, but I keep tripping over everything.
I think we had Christmas and everybody's brain just sort of went AWOL for a little bit. And it's slowly coming back as the light does.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably not going to come out for a little while. And for people that don't know, and I think it's really worth talking about sometimes, like I batch my podcasts. I don't do them every single week. I did a whole load over the Christmas period, and I am interested to know whether people can tell the ones that I did over the period of time where everything was, you know, quieter and more relaxed.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you for coming and talking with me. We've known each other for quite a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were certainly in that world of being in the self-development world long before it was kind of trendy and cool in a hashtag moment. So this is sort of going back, I guess, 2012, 2013. And it was still seemed self-development was still a bit of a, where are they going? Why are they going to that hotel to do all these secret things and learnings? And actually everybody's sort of become part of it now. And coaching is so needed. And self-development is there's never been a better time, I don't think.
Oh, we've got so much we could dive into. And I want to talk to you about, you know, perhaps the differences between the States and here, and then what coaching is like kind of pre-motherhood and motherhood. Like, there's so much I want to dive into. But what does adulting mean to you? Or what does it mean to be an adult these days?
Well, I was thinking about this question and I remember being absolutely desperate to be an adult. Even from about 9, 10, 11, I was that person saying to her parents, like, I'm just going to like get on the bus to Sheffield. And they're like, you're really not. Like, you're 9 and an hour away and you're not a grown up. And I think I spent a lot of time during school and things like that feeling really in limbo, feeling slightly out of alignment, knowing that these people and these circumstances were not going to be in my environment going forward. So I think becoming an adult, it was almost a relief that I could go, okay, I can do what I like now. And there was a sort of freedom to that. And there was a lot of space that opened up. I moved to London when I was 18. And that's when I really felt like my life began. And being able to explore all facets of all of the things that I want to do is a lovely moment to get to kind of 37 and to still be creating this version of business and life. I mean, of course, there are some ugly cries along the way, but having this sense of I can really create my own destiny is a magical place to be in, really.
I love that. And I also really relate. The first time I ran away because the world wasn't spinning to my tune, I was 7 and I wanted to go to the fair, and my grandma didn't want me to go to the fair. You know, we didn't have money or there wasn't time or probably wonderful reasons for not going to the fair. However, I ran off in the other direction. And then when I kind of turned around, like I was wanting to kind of do that thing where they would Oh, I knew that they'd be back, and I didn't. I think they. I thought that they were doing the kind of cry wolf thing of being hidden around the corner. And when I came back to be like, "Ta-da, I'm back. See, I didn't really run away." They were gone, and so I was like, "Okay, well, I am a grown up. I can sort this out." So I went along. This was in Brighton on the seafront. I went along the front where all the car parking machines are, and I put my hand in all the machines to try and find change, because I figured that someone would have forgotten their change and then I'd have some money, and then I'd go to the fair and everything would be all right. And then a police car appeared and it had my grandma and my brother in it, and they shouted at me for being irresponsible, and that was my first taste of adulthood at seven.
Yes. But I remember people sort of saying that thing of the school days are the best days of your life, you know, and almost people mourning at 16, like, oh gosh, this is it now. Now we have to go. And I just literally could not wait to get out of there. I was good to go. And certainly before I left home as well, I was on the blocks, packed, ready. And I've always been like that. I've sort of always been looked forward to the next chapter rather than kind of sitting in a heap and going, oh no, I just want to be back there.
So interesting that actually my dad, who is a very wise man, during my teens, I remember him saying that there are different types of worriers in the world. There are worriers who worry about the future and who are constantly looking forward, who are looking forward to the next chapter where everything's going to be brighter and different, but then they also worry about it.
Yeah.
And then there are worriers who look back and think, oh, I should have done that differently, or if I had my time again, and this, I shouldn't have done that, and this and that, and constantly look back and wish that they could change it. And he said to me in that moment, and that's why we use meditation, and that's why meditation is so important, because it allows us to practice being in the present, being in the present moment, and being in our lives right now, appreciating what we have got and what we are doing. And I think I was really fortunate to have the parents that I had, even though, you know, I wanted to get out from seven. It wasn't never, but for the most part, it wasn't to get away from them, right? Like, it was that I still have such a great relationship with my family, but I've always been incredibly independent. Is that the same for you?
It is. And I also said that I had a big creativity piece of me that perhaps I didn't see within my family. So I knew that from a very early age, that I was going to have to figure it out myself, because these are the days of, you know, growing up in a small northern village and not having the internet and basically being so excited if Blue Peter showed a behind the scenes of like a London West End show, because that's the content that I was feeding off. You know, I would record it, I would watch it again and again, because that stuff just didn't exist at that time. So I've always had very supportive parents, as in who have championed me, and likewise with my family, but also they haven't had those experiences, or they didn't crave the same things that I did. So I did have a bit of a sense of, I'm gonna have to figure this out by myself, and tread my own path.
And have you found that new family now, or that sense of community of other people that share that creativity and those dreams with you?
I have, and that's really lovely to be able to tap into, but also it makes you incredibly self-sufficient as well. And I have done a lot of work on myself of knowing how I can tap into that creativity when I need it, and how I can explore it, and what I need, and where I need to say, I have good boundaries basically, where I need to say no, where I need to say yes. And if I ever get a script, I'm very instinctive about it, and I'm not kind of a typical showbiz type person who's sort of in it for the drinks and the schmooze. You know, I'm a bit of a geek, I'm in it for the work really.
And so how are you fitting, I mean, actor, coach, I mean, I tripped over it, but actor, coach, writer, speaker and podcaster, that's a lot of hats, lady.
That
doesn't even include, you know, mum, partner.
Yeah, quite. Because acting was the first love and the first thing that I did, the general nature of that industry is that it's contract work. So there is a lot of resting time and waiting for the phone to ring. And that really doesn't sit well with me, waiting and hoping and wishing and waiting for that permission of, you know, some older dude to go, yes, okay, well, yeah, she's ready and things like that. Being in that space of kind of victim mentality or hoping and wishing just doesn't suit me. So I always knew that I wanted to do other things, so I would have that consistent income, so I could transfer my creativity into lots of different areas. And it sort of worked. I mean, in the beginning, I did try those awful jobs of like nannying obnoxious children or working in bars or working in Miss Selfridge and Oxford Circus and like putting the bras on those really complicated hangers that just made me wanted to scream again, I can't do it anymore. But they all sort of feed into each other now. And it's a really, I mean, that has taken a lot of work. That's taken a lot of, okay, you need to show people that you can do that. Or it's taken time, like writing things about your about page is really hard, I think, for so many people. And I've actually bizarrely had my website copied and pasted about 4 times where people have sort of said, oh yeah, I vaguely do lots of things, so I'll just sort of copy that. And it's really unique. And I guess I encourage my clients to do this as well, to really find what makes you special and your unique blend. So bizarrely, the other day I did a filming job for a commercial where I was playing an astrophysicist, which would never have been my reality. And we were recording in the planetarium. And because they needed lots of shots of the audience looking at me, they said, oh, can you just like talk to the audience a bit, like share a few jokes? And I thought, well, I can't really do that off the cuff, but I can do some coaching. So I ended up doing a really weird, not weird, but I'm sure they weren't expecting it, a live group coaching workshop of just, you know, motivationally speaking. And at the end, some of the crew were like, I like that. That was great. And so sometimes I do have those golden days where everything kind of fits into one, and it's that sort of complete picture. And then there are other days where I'm at the park with my son and having a nice time. But there's sort of a lot of juggle. There's a lot of figuring it out. There's a lot of pivots. There's a lot of shifts. But I'm glad that I can do this and that I can be wear all the hats, because I'm not very good when I'm not in control of my own destiny.
I know that I've got listeners who will be listening to this and saying, you know, but I want to do all the things, but Ebony and all of the other people in the industry has told me that I've got to focus on one thing. Now, this feels very contradictory. What might you say to that?
I think people will, and I think there are definitely 2 camps where there are people who get their energy and get their creativity from doing lots of things, and there are some people that only really like to focus on one. I think first and foremost, you have to know where the money is coming from, because if you can figure that piece out and you know that that's going to consistently come into your business, and these can be very basic figures of what are your outgoings, what are your incomings, what available hours do you have to work in the week, how can you make those hours work for you? I think you have to go there, because certainly when I'm stressed about money, I'm not creative, or I'm less creative than, I mean, I've got really creative sometimes when the money is being slow. But I think knowing what that money piece is first has really helped. But then also, I think just finding ways where you can keep it really simple. So for example, something like Twitter, I find quite confusing, because I don't really know who my audience are, because saying, you know, a review of a piece that I saw at the Young Vic the other night and then putting a motivational quote, sometimes it feels a bit haphazard. Whereas something like Instagram, I can really step into that personal brand and be me and show up and kind of go, yeah, I do all these sort of things. So it's much more of a documentation of my life. So I think finding those platforms to show up in that way is good. And also, it's, you know, money is often tight in businesses or things. People want you to be able to do all the things, so if you can step into those and actually be be a bit bold and put your hand up and go, actually, I can do that. I don't mind doing this, and keep adding value. People like that, because so many times I've been to events and people have huge followings online, or they create beautiful photography, or they show their homes. And then the first thing they say is, I'm not very good at public speaking. Sorry, guys, please bear with me. And it really makes me switch off now, because I'm just like, you have to get good at doing all of these things. That's part of your commitment as a personal brand.
And that's a really interesting thing to share. I think that as a creative, there are different types of creative, right? Mm. So there are introverted creatives and extroverted creatives. So there's the kind of hermit who likes to create in the privacy of their own world.
Yes.
And then kind of needs to come out of the cave to share. And that's for them, it's a different beast. And then there's the kind of the extroverted creative who is constantly in a state of look at me, like fueled by people looking and enjoys sharing. I don't know whether you agree with that, but for me, both of those need to learn how to be a personal brand as well in order to have the platform to be and do what, you know, that whole plethora of different things.
Absolutely. And what you said about batching is so key for me, that I'm not always in that creation mode. Sometimes I like to be quiet, sitting at home, chugging away, and then I'll kind of suddenly emerge and pop out to say hello. And I think sometimes when I've done speaking gigs that people would think, oh, you know, she's confident, she can deliver, all of this sort of stuff. But the next day I need to switch off from the world and kind of go back into the cave. But another point to make on that, I would say, is to really understand where your strengths and your weaknesses are. Because once you recognize them and once you know what you need, it will help you to progress as well. So there are certain elements in my business that I know don't come as easy to me. So I have help with them in order to do that. And also understanding what you need as a person in order to prepare. So for example, if I go to an audition, there are some people who love to sit in the waiting room and go, oh, right, have you been in for this? What's happening? And they feed off that kind of gossipy thing. I go, I pick up the script, go, thanks very much. Are you running on time? I go and have a coffee in a cafe down the road. And then I come back and then I sort of go in very quietly and do what I need to do. So understanding your own process has been really key for me. And people will try and argue with it and try and tell you there's a better way. But actually being instinctive and intuitive is so important.
I think that's such a beautiful way of kind of coming around to something we were talking about before we went on air, really, that being an entrepreneur or being creative or running a business or, you know, whatever you want to label you want to put on it, is the best personal development journey you'll ever go on. For me, if I look beyond the money, which is lovely, and you know, at the beginning is literally just survival, and then beyond that it's like, oh, how can I contribute into the world, how can I feed my soul, you know, all of those things. But beyond the money, it's like, if I look at it more as a personal development journey, it helps me shift whether something is a success or a failure. I'm doing air quotes, you can't see them, but how it can never be a failure if it's a personal development journey, right? It can never be a failure if you're looking at it from a long lens of like, oh, what am I learning here? Like, who am I? What's the best way for me to show up? What, you know, it does it work for me to sit in the waiting room and be part of this community and chat with the other people and know who all my competition are? Or does it work for me to go and sit in a coffee shop down the road and really like hone in on myself and do my mindset work and be and know that I'm in the exact right place at the exact right time? You know, does that make sense?
It really does. And I think there is something lovely about getting to a certain age in life where you have less wiggle room for BS, and you can trust yourself. Because I think as a woman sometimes, especially as a 19-20 year old in a creative industry, people still want to stamp those, oh, she's a diva, oh, she needs time, or oh, she's not speaking to everyone, has she got a problem, or what's wrong with her? And I think when you get to a certain age, sort of now, especially becoming a mum as well, I have much more like, are you running on time? Hi, yeah, cool, what are you doing? And I don't need that sort of validation from it very much. And I wish I'd learned that earlier in my career, and I wish I'd had almost more irons in the fire, because I really just put all my hopes and dreams on like the one job or the one thing. And if I didn't get it a couple of days, it was almost like I'd be mourning, and I would really be like looking at myself and doubting everything that I've ever known. And sometimes it's just not your gig. Sometimes it's just not your time. And now I have a commitment to myself in whatever I'm doing. Just be good every time. And sometimes that can be quite a high standard for yourself, but just sometimes good every time can just be those basic things like show up, give, be a nice person, hold the door open for the person behind you, ask how people are, be friendly, be open, and that's enough. And if you keep putting that sort of energy into the world, then other things come. And the amount of times where I've been for meetings where they do that, yeah, you're just not quite right for this, however, can you come in on Tuesday because we've got this other thing.
I think that's so important to remember in business as well, because the amount of times that someone, I've been on a sales call, or that people have said to me, oh, I don't want to come on a sales call with you, or I don't want to come on and have a conversation with you about this thing that I've applied for because it might not be right for me, or how much is it? Or and I'm like, dude, you're shutting the door on yourself before you've even had a conversation with me. Yes. Why don't you have a conversation with me and do it from a place of like, I'm not interested in selling you anything. My job is to match you to something. And if you come through the door and you're like, you're right for the program that you're applying for, or for the coach, you know, whatever it is, then winner, you know, absolutely fantastic. And if you're not, I am here for the long haul and have been here for the long haul.
I hear you.
Quick selling you something, I will say, hey, this is not right for you, but yeah, I have this thing and this thing, or this friend of mine, or whatever. And so the people who take a risk on themselves to show up for those phone calls, without knowing what the outcome will be, with curiosity rather than expectation, which is my whole gig, you know, my whole thing, then we can find something magical for them. And I've got people who I spoke to 2 years ago who I didn't have anything right for then, and then who have signed up to work with me for a year now. And if I dismissed them, if I'd shut the door on them energetically, you know, I just think often people are thinking too short term and not seeing the kind of long game of it.
Well, I had this with a client the other day where she said to me, I'm saving up to do a whole day with you. And I was bold and I said, I don't think you need a whole day at this stage. I really don't. And financially, that would have been a lovely gig, of course. But I said, I think you need an hour with me because you don't quite know what your business is yet. So please don't spend all that money right now. Like, let's map out the first bit. And she came back and she was like, gosh, I'm really grateful that you were honest in that way. And I think being authentic in this industry, it's always in terms of a coach as well, because people need to feel safe. And likewise, if I get lots of parents, for example, who'll say, I am 39 weeks pregnant, I'm really keen on like starting a 3-month coaching program. And quite often in that email, I will say, thank you so much. And I do a lot of voice notes as well. Thank you so much, but please go and have your baby first and like then come back to me, because also I want to make sure that my clients are in that committed stage. And if you've got 5 days to go before you have your child, you're in all kinds of hormonal situation. And that's not saying that you're not strong and you can't do what you need to do, but sometimes life is cooking and babies are cooking and other things are happening.
Yeah.
And you've got to be mindful of what else is going on in life as well.
Yes. Listen, you and I could talk forever, and I might ask you to come back and we'll talk another time about some more stuff. For now, do you have an I'm an adult but for me?
Yeah, I do. I think I'm an adult but I connect with my playfulness and curiosity every single day. I never want to become too stuffy or just have arms folded or good luck, love, that will never happen. And sometimes my son kind of helps that, but sometimes it's just been really silly and like dancing in the kitchen or making a den or doing things, but always just trying to be really solution focused and not making things heavier than they need to be. So trying to have that lightness and and playfulness and think and connecting actually with that girl who used to watch the Blue Peter behind the scenes and being excited. Because when I look from where I came from to now, my goodness, I've done a lot. And sometimes when you're in that heavy to-do list or if things are not necessarily going in your way, you can really quickly doubt yourself. So really connecting with that younger version of me, that childlike version, helps with the adulting as well.
It's so true. So true. What's mine today? I'm an adult, but in my head, I'm still that seven-year-old. I just want to go to the fair, and when I want to go, I want to go, and nothing's going to stop me.
I know. Do you know what? I get anxiety sometimes when I go on like nights out with people where I'm staying at somebody's house, because like if I'm done by 10 o'clock, I'm like, I just want to get in a taxi and like just go home. And then the thought of saying like, this is a bit shit, can I have your keys so I can go back to your house? It's a real... like, no, we've all got to stay together. And
I think that's the curse of the independent. I'm like that. I take my car everywhere. Like, I take my car everywhere. And people are always like, why? I'm like, so I can leave.
No, I hear that. I've never into like, let's all go on a hen do and let's all dress the same. I'm like, I don't want to. Don't make me.
No, I can't. No. If people want to find out more about you, we'll put everything in the show notes, but where's the best place to come and hang out with you?
I mean, I guess Instagram is my favourite playground, which is at Nicky Raby, NICKYRABY. I have a podcast, which I love chatting to, which is very sort of anti-hustle, interviews with people who are creating their own version of life and business, or my website, NickyRaby.com.
Fab. And like I said, we'll put all the links in so people can very easily find you and come click through and say hello.
Thank you so much for having me. I've loved the chat and I'm such a fan of the podcast. I think it's mega what you're doing. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Nicky.
Thank you. Bye.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.